The reading is from Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his height? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
We're going to look at the subject this evening of overcoming life's problems. I usually kind of hurry through the picture, but I think I'm just going to pause for a little bit. You can barely see it on your handout, but take a good look at this. First of all, you probably didn't notice it was a lady. The second thing is she's got some major problems going on here. If I read it right, there's no reserve chute. So what are you going to do? Some things she did do. Notice those nice knee pads in the helmet. I don't think they're going to be much good in a few minutes, you know, at the end of this. And this is, you know, the problems we do run into. You know, the picture, you know, gives us kind of pause to think about, because a lot of our situations can be this distressed. Somebody could, you know, jokingly mention, well, why don't you just take it, the parachute back to the factory, you know, get your money back. Not an option. What other things could you do? Even if you said, well, now's a good time to pray. Unfortunately, for a lot of extreme situations, it needs a lot of preparation up to it. You know, are you on praying grounds with God? You know, if there's no solution to this problem and it reaches its ultimate, excuse the pun, impact. If you are a Christian in good standing with God, it doesn't really matter. A lot of people kind of, you know, what they call push the envelope. And they get into extreme sports, which skydiving would be, I consider, one of them. And a lot of times if you ask them why, how, you know, I like getting as close to death as possible, it makes you feel alive. Not if you don't walk away from it alive. Yeah, and a lot of people don't. You know, people in skiing wrap themselves around trees, and that's it. It's over. Or go over cliffs, rock climbers, you know, all sorts of things that people get into, even in cars. Yeah. You never know when you're going to get into a car for the last time. And as you think about these things, you know, have you prepared for them? Because a lot of life's adventures are this extreme. I had a friend of mine who did a lot of skydiving. And on one particular episode, he got to thinking about consequences, about thinking about his family, his wife, his kids. And he rode the plane back down. So that was it. But for a lot of us, you know, if we have the time to rethink it, what can you do in this situation? You could suggest panic, which might be a good slot for this, but it's not going to do you any good. I mean, if you're reaching all over for stuff and, you know, worrying about it, it's not going to help. What would help is being prepared beforehand, making sure you're right with your God, so that if it is prayer or looking at, you know, very closely at the next life, you are prepared for it. And this is what God is trying to tell us. Are you prepared for anything that comes along? Okay. We're not saying don't try the extreme stuff, whatever, but have you really thought it out? Are you really prepared to meet your God? Now, whether it's extreme stuff or even the small things, you know, that Warren was reading about in Matthew, the Lord is trying to tell us. From Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing. I mean, it's a very familiar passage. You know, most people have this one, you know, glued to the refrigerator or something. But what does it start out telling you? That there's some things that you can do that are absolutely worthless for situations. To be anxious, to be nervous, you know, whatever, what good does that do? It's like someone said, you know, if you got a mound of bills that need paying, why don't you just, you know, get the family and gather around the table and hold hands and just all, everybody concentrate about being anxious. And be as anxious as you can be and see how many bills you get paid. Doesn't work. There's no use to go to that direction, to get yourself all churned out of position. What can you do? Well, some of it is, you know, you can be a little bit more sensible with, you know, your payments and your, you know, look to your income and how the outgo and all that kind of stuff. That's what you can do that's proper. But when things start getting out of hand, there's something better to do. Prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, should guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When a calm settles over you, you think more clearly. You either do what you can do, you know, are able to explore more possibilities, or realize it's maybe entirely out of your hand, and the only thing you can do is turn it over to God. Let Him worry about it and get on with your life. What we're going to be looking at is, you know, the various things that we need to do in order to meet life's problems. Of all people, Christians have more to rejoice over. That should help life to begin with. We have all the good things that God gave all humanity. You know, God blesses His creation. But we have the extras that come to those that are special to Him, if we're truly Christians. Plus, we have been washed in the blood of Christ to have our sins forgiven, the special blessings that come to God's people, and the joy that cannot be understood, the passage we just looked at. For the Christian who's really tied with God, the opening cartoon holds no problems. Even further, we have access to God in prayer to tap into His wisdom. James says, if you ask of God, you know, He gives wisdom liberally. Here to help. He can bestow whatever power is necessary that He can display through His providential operation. Okay, even though we don't believe that miracles happen anymore, God's just as powerful to make things work out providentially. Yeah. I can believe that more than anything. I grew up being clinically blind. And I think through God's, I'll call it miraculous providence, through a series of eye operations, I now have 20/20 vision, something that would have been impossible 40 years ago. I mean, I grew up with thick glasses. And now to be able to run and do all sorts of things without having those things sliding all over my nose, to me is a wonder. Okay? God can work just as well through providence as through miracles. But Christians will still have problems. You know, just being a Christian doesn't mean you get off. In fact, it's kind of a good thing. Becoming a Christian does not free one from the problems of this life, though in many ways a Christian's walk does uncomplicated a lot of usual hassles. Christians don't live in soap operas. The rest of the world does, it seems. As a little kid, I go, why do we watch this stuff? It's just depressing and stupid. I mean, if people didn't do stupid things, they wouldn't have a soap opera. Okay, Christians kind of do smart things. So their life is kind of removed from the soap opera dilemma. But many of the marital, you know, many of the marital problems people get into, Christians don't have to suffer through all the heartache of divorces and things. If they've done it right, listen to God, marry a good Christian person. You know, it helps the marriage relationship go a lot smoother. You know, they last longer. Some of the financial straits, you know, Christians are educated in how to take care of the things that God blesses them with without getting too greedy and wanting too many toys and stuff, being content with what you have. Or the diseases, especially the STDs out there. Most Christians are plagued with these things because they're not in environments, you know, that, you know, that sort of thing is, you know, thrives in. And loneliness is usually abated by things that God has set up. There's a reason for families and societies and the church. When I was in the service, it was, you know, looked at some of these, you know, old Marines and stuff like that, you know, lost their wives a long time ago, got kicked out or something like that, and they're, you know, spend their later days in trailers with their old bulldog, the mark of the Marine and stuff like that, and just living the loneliest life you've ever seen. Reminiscing, you know, sobbing over old things that nobody remembers anymore. Whereas the Christian generally has good family support, kids that love them through their later years, that take care of them, or a church that is there for them, good associations and things. There's just, you know, benefits beyond measure of being a Christian, being right with God. However, if there were no problems, there would be no testing, and we wouldn't be able to grow. And God wants us to grow and sends various trials to us, you know, to make us better people. In truth, Jesus had sufferings for truth, and so will we if we walk in his light and follow his footsteps. Some passages, Paul told Timothy, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It's a given. Okay? When you stand up for what's right, for some reason, the people that don't just don't like it. They don't leave you alone. They got to work at you. It's almost as if they're affronted that you've got morals and they don't. So you're going to run into problems. Woe to you when the treat the false prophet. I say to you here, love your enemies, do good to those who hurt you or hate you, bless those who mistreat you. Now notice what he's saying. As a Christian, you're going to have enemies, you're going to be mistreated. Yeah, it's a given. Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. What person in their daily life takes on these things? I think it was William Barclay the one said, those that collaborated during World War II didn't think, you know, anything about the evil of the Nazis. They just went along with it, and their life didn't change that much. If you want to know how powerful evil is, take a stand against it. Those that fought on the other ground, those that took a stand against, you know, Nazi imperialism, they felt the full brunt of the German Blitzkrieg. They found out how powerful they were. And Christians are really the ones that find out how powerful that Satan can be, because they're the few that take a stand against him. So, yeah, expect some problems in this life. Okay, but of course, you've got God working with you. And so, think back to that picture, that opening picture. You know, if that person had suddenly heard a voice from heaven and God tried to tell them, don't you think they'd really listen? you know, to what God had to tell them if there was a fix for their circumstance. Okay. So a lot of our circumstances are that extreme. So, you know, it's time to start listening to God, what he's got to tell us. In this one, even Paul, as an apostle, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself. When Paul talks about this, I know a lot of people ask, I wonder what the thorn in the flesh was. You know, was it his eyes that were failing? Was it, you know, some kind of health? Because, you know, those that had visions, generally, it took a toll on their body. You know, they woke up as one dead, or, you know, they like he walked away blind, you know, after, you know, seeing the Lord on the road and whatever. It could be that, but I think there's a reason why it's kept secret. Because anybody that reads this can start to think, well, I got a thorn in the flesh too. And instead of praying to get rid of it, me start wondering, you know, why did Jesus give it to me? He's trying to tell me something. Trying to help me not to exalt myself. Attitude is key to facing a lot of problems. Problems are often how you look at them as well as how you face them. Without God's perspective to life, we could easily blow things out of proportion and believe things are worse than they are. I mean, when you sit down and you look at just how awful an experience our Lord went through up to the point of crucifixion, you know, what in your life even equals it? What sort of persecutions are you going under? What sort of troubles, whatever? So it helps tone things down. Or if you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, what all the Christians went through in the first several centuries. Okay. Man, we live in a little quiet zone. As Christians, we learn to lean on God, to approach things not arrogantly, which is often a fix in itself. Sometimes our arrogance gets us into problems, and to see trials as joyous challenges. Totally different spin we put on problems that the rest of the world doesn't. Proverbs 24:10, if you are slack, faint-hearted in the day of distress, your strength is limited. Okay, from the Proverbs, this is good advice, you know, especially for the young and whatever. But you'll find out this is true in a lot of things, not just spiritual. I had a buddy that took me, trying to show me how to do motorcycle dirt riding, and to those hills that almost go straight up. And one of the things you learn is, if you're wimpy about it, you'll never make it. Yeah. You've got to really throw yourself into it, gur it, and go, get into it. That's the only way you're going to, otherwise you'll just, but. Or backwards, usually Murphy's Law kicks in. So you got to in gymnastics, I found, you know, doing those giants on the high bar, man, if you're just trying to do one, you'll get up to the top and flip back down. You've got to throw yourself into two. Commit yourself, you know, all the way through it. And the same thing with living life and serving God. You got to throw yourself into it. Go for it. You know, can't be faint-hearted about it. Humble yourself, therefore, before the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. Let him deal with it. Philippians 4:13. I'm going to skip the Philippians thing, so we're doing this Sunday morning anyway. We'll get more in depth into it, and also with, you know, the context. But then to make Will happy. James, the first chapter. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. You know what these things are for. My God sent them your way. And since I know that Will likes, you know, James, I also know he's likes Romans 5 because it goes along the same bed. Not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Perseverance proving character, and proving character hope, and hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. We've got all sorts of help. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, fellow Christians. We're not in life alone. So we do have a support group. First Peter 4, if you are reviled for the name of Jesus, you are blessed because the Spirit of God, the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. If you suffer as a Christian, don't feel ashamed. Glorify God in that. All trials are not obstacles. While hardly anyone does not have something they need to overcome, physical, emotional, intellectual, or personality problems, we've all got something. We all got our little cross. We all got our thorn in the flesh, whatever, something. These hurdles are only obstacles if we let them become such. Or look at them as aids in order to get you through. Many of those we might envy because of their success, we may not want to trade places with. Once you look at how they got there, I gave you a list of some of them. Julius Caesar and Alexander the Great. Alexander did pretty good, conquered the known world anyway. But would you like to become an epileptic? That's what he had to contend with. Also Julius Caesar. Helen Keller, I saw a blog on her YouTube. Very impressive, standing before a graduating class in her cap and gown, giving the speech at the end. But how would you like to go through life deaf and blind? In fact, to start out life as a feral child, just screaming and banging around, not able to communicate with anybody. Yeah, fine. We know of Helen Keller, but I'm more impressed by the teacher who took the time to train her. Admiral Nelson, who was the hero of the Napoleonic Wars for England, only had one eye and one arm. You know, that work cost him. Robert Louis Stevenson, very famous author, The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde and Treasure Island and all that, but he had tuberculosis. He had things to contend with. FDR, the last four-term president, had to contend with infantile paralysis, spent the last of his years in a wheelchair. And other very famous people that we know of, even contemporary, struggle with things. I'll mention one. Stephen J. Connell, or whatever his name is, I think that's what it is, has put together some very memorable television shows. The Rockford Files, The A-Team, other things. Most people are familiar with this stuff. At the end of these things, it shows him sitting at a typewriter, and at the end of it, he pulls the sheet out and flips it away. In an interview, he said, "I never do that." He says, that typewriter, I can't work it. I've got dyslexia. But it didn't stop him. He worked through it. Whoopi Goldberg also has dyslexia. Had Parkinson's. I knew what his name was. Some of us has to put up with senior moments. they're more recurring than usual. Okay, we'll move on. Cancer, ulcers, diabetes, financial problems. People have to contend with a lot of things. But there's principles to be employed by the Christian in all circumstances. First of all, keep the mind occupied with constructive thinking. No use going down the wrong road, tearing yourself down. If you have a failure, as we pointed out in the past, that night is not the good time to go over all your problems. You just beat yourself down. Okay, forget it, sleep on it, let the mind go to other places, and when you're bright and fresh in the morning, then deal with your failure. The pessimist is defeated even before he begins. Scriptures tell us, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you can see yourself as a failure, that's what you are, a failure. Churchill said, "I'm an optimist. I don't see any purpose of being anything else." I mean, who wants to face life as a pessimist? I mean, you've got all these things you have to accomplish. If you start off every one of them, go, "Oh, I can't do this, I'll never succeed," whatever, man, you might as well get in a corner and die. Pessimism doesn't get you anywhere. You might as well be an optimist with a few failures than being a pessimist with nothing but successes. Think about that. Philippians 3. I said I was going to skip the Philippians things. We'll get to those. Ponder the many who would gladly trade places with you. Sometimes we go, oh, woe is me. I've been a few places. I've been to India, Russia. And I know things in Africa and South America. Been down to Mexico. There's gladly people that will trade with you anytime you want. Their living conditions are horrific. One congregation I preached at down there, there was this one little kid that he was just having episode after episode. You know, just his eyes would roll and scream. He'd be flopping on the floor. And he got that because he got past the wire down into the canal and drank the water. That's all he did. And it tore his brain to pieces. That's the conditions people live in. We have it very well here. The world is full of people who are worse off than you are and consider you blessed. I remember this old quotation, I pitied myself because I had no shoes until I met a man who had no feet. Okay. Someone's always worse than you are. Consider yourself blessed. Another Philippians. 3, make up your mind to patiently endure the hardships. They're there for a reason. You know, get through them. You know, try to find out what's in it to pull out at the end of it that you have a beneficial experience. Life is an uphill battle and a tough struggle at that. Get used to the idea and just thank God that when at times the road levels off. Someone had an expression, life is tough and then you die. That's the reality. Okay, so throw yourself into it. Deal with it. We count them blessed who endured. You've heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of God's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. What do you know of Job? Lost everything. None of us will have to endure what Job did. Yet at the other end of it, his faith remained great, you know, and God compassionate. You know, sent friends to help console him, you know, directed him through the problems, and at the end increased his family and wealth and everything else beyond what he had. Keep your spirits up with prayer and the study of God's word. We often feel better when we are with people, our friends, we know who can protect us or mentor us. You know, we trust in them. We rely on them. So walk with God always in prayer, studying your scriptures, letting mentor you, guide you, take care of your problems for you. Yeah. And Paul tells Timothy, continue in the things you've learned to become convinced of, knowing that from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Or is it? Just remember Psalms 23. Most of us have it memorized. Keep quoting it to yourself. And have the attitude of Christ. To be a Christian is to be Christ-like. So start behaving like he does. He has given us all the clues and examples and signposts and attitudes on how to make the most of life. I mean, what did he have? Didn't even have a, like he's telling his disciples, I don't even have a place to put my head. No home, whatever. But in the final analysis, our Lord had everything. Because he had a working relationship with his Father. Loving relationship with it. It's time to get that also. At the end, Jesus was saying, through a up to the point of crucifixion. He's in the garden and he was saying, Abba Father, Abba, Aramaic expression, very close intimacy. All things are possible for thee. Notice the faith he has in the Father. Remove this cup from me. If it's your will, however, but what thou wilt and not mine. As we get through this life, as long as you keep uppermost, whatever God wills, that's what I'm going to do no matter what. And what God wills for you is the very best in this life and in the one to come. Trust that and rely on it. and go with it. In conclusion, Job 1:22, through all of this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. And stands as an example, James says, you know, for the rest of us, as to how to live life and make the most out of it. Go with God. Anything we can do to help you do that? We're about to sing 343. Okay. And the title, Let Him Have His Way With You. That's a good invitation. Yeah, let him have his way with you. Think about that as we stand to sing.